watching us, and even those that don't even have a clue about any of it. You can't do anything without him. Amen. You got to have him. Thank God for that. Glad I got him. Glad I know him. Amen. Well, we've been studying, and you notice here we're talking about in the book of Acts. We're still there. We're still working our way through that. Well, it's a transitional book, and I guess all of us know that. We realize that there is a transitional period. I was doing some reading on some things today and over the last few days and ran into something where a fella said, you know, this being a transitional book, you see all kinds of situations, and we're probably gonna run into one of those tonight as we look at the last little section in chapter number 18. We start in verse number 24, and maybe jump back to 23 just for a little context. But verses 24 through 28 will be the main body of our study tonight. So, and we're gonna talk tonight about. A man that is by the name of Apollos. And we're going to call him the man who gets a greater revelation of Jesus. He is a man that gets a greater revelation of Jesus. And you'll see what we're talking about as we go through this. But looking back, as I said, maybe for a little context, at the end of the last section where Paul has gone through the ending of his second missionary journey, and really, verse 23 begins to tell us about him leaving and going on a third missionary journey. It says, and after he, and that he is Paul, after he had spent some time there in Antioch, he departed and went all over the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you for this time and privilege to be here. And I pray now, add your blessings to this reading and to the preaching, everything that's said and done tonight. And we'll thank you again for loving us and blessing us and giving us your touch and your hand in this and all the things that you are doing for us. Thank you again for answering prayer and meeting needs. We thank you for that this evening. And I pray, God, you'd continue to do that. And I pray you'd save the lost. We thank you again for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. As I said, when we look at this, you see that we're going to talk about Apollos. Apollos. And as a matter of fact, sometimes you sit and you think about some of these names and people that you hear of here in the scriptures. And if you're like me, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I know that name from somewhere else. I mean, this is just not the only place in the scripture where you find the name Apollos. And that's true because, he becomes a little bit of a, for lack of a better word, a celebrity, or a well-known person. Paul talks about him in the church in Corinth because that's where he's going to go. And he's talked about in some other places. Paul mentions him, and as he mentions him, there's a little history there, and that history is given to us right here in this little section. And you know, as I read to you there in verse number 23, we've been mainly looking at Paul. Here's Paul, and Paul has been all over the place. Paul's been preaching, establishing churches, people getting saved, all these things happening. And then Paul has left, if you will remember, he has left Priscilla and Aquila at Ephesus. He has left them behind, And he has gone on back to his mainstay and his place that he's trying to go to. So here he goes. Paul has made his journey. And they've been here at Corinth, and then he went to Ephesus. And now, as you see the red line descending, if you could follow that on out with a map, or as you do follow it, you see that he's gone back to the home base of headquarters, if you will, at a place called Antioch of Syria. Now, remember, there's two Antiochs. There's one Antioch that is over this way, around above, well, there it is in Syria. You can see that. Then there's another Antioch that is listed here on the road that Paul already traveled on. But anyway, Paul's back at the Antioch in Syria, and he's getting ready to go on his third mission journey. And during this mission journey, he wants to go and establish and check on the churches, just make sure everything's going well, help out where he can, fix what needs to be fixed, that sort of thing. And that's the work many times of missionaries, especially when you're establishing churches and you want to make sure everything's going well. So that's what Paul's getting ready to do. But as he has done that, here at Ephesus, he has left Priscilla and Aquila there to help the church that's being built at that place. And as you see here in this story, it says in verse number 24, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus." Now, we want to look at him tonight because this story is going to be mainly about him and some of the things that do happen to him. So I want you to notice first, if you will, that as we come to an understanding about Apollos, and that's why I say this is, when you read this and you study the book of Acts, there is some transitional period that's going on. You've got a man here in Apollos that the scriptures tells us some things about, but I think you'll understand when you read this and when we study it, Apollos has some revelation of Jesus. Now, you say, "Now wait a minute, preacher, either you do or you don't." Well, it's because of where he came from. It tells a little bit about his background, some of the things that he knows, and we're going to look at that. But don't you realize he does have some revelation about Jesus Christ? The Bible said that here's this man, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria. He's an eloquent man, a man that's mighty in the scripture, and he came to Ephesus. And listen to what it says in verse number 25. "This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John." All right, so that's what I'm talking about. First of all, let's look at it. Let's talk about his nationality. Let's just talk about what he is nationally or racially. Let's kind of talk. The Bible said that he is a Jew that was born in Alexandria. Now, Alexandria was a great city at this time, and Alexandria was a city that was named Alexandria because it was thus named by Alexander the Great, who had just been the head of the world empire with the Greeks. And as you know, we're kind of in a transitional time here. The Greeks have just got through ruling. They still have a lot of influence in the world, but here you've got a man that was born in Alexandria during that Grecian period, and he's a Greek, but he's a Jew, okay? He has Jewish parents. He has Jewish heritage. He's a Jew. So you know what that tells us about him is that he is versed in the things that Jewish kids are versed in. He grew up in Jewish schools. He went to Jewish synagogue. He lived among Jewish people. He knew a lot about the Jewish faith. And there's something in this man, there's something in him that's a little bit different, if you'll notice what it says about him. It says he was born at Alexandria, but it says he's an eloquent man. He's mighty in the scriptures. And it said he was instructed in the way of the Lord, and it said being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So he's a Jew, and he's read his Bible. Thank God for people that read their Bibles. Amen? I mean, that's exactly what we need to do today. Get in the Bible. Brother Ronnie, I think it was Sunday morning, was talking about some things that, you know, people say sometimes that they'll tell you is in the Bible, and it's not there. I mean, you know, and I guess the first one that pops in most of our minds is, I've had people tell me, oh, preacher, the Bible says cleanliness is next to godliness. Well, I sure would like to see verse and chapter on that, because it ain't in there. Well, you know, God helps those that helps themselves, what the Bible says. That ain't in there either, okay? I mean, there's a lot of things that people think are in the Bible that are not in the Bible, okay? And how do you get over that? You study your Bible. You come to Sunday school. You pay attention during preaching time. I mean, you listen to what the Word of God has to say. And when you do that, you'll pick up on a lot of things that you might have thought was in the Bible, but they're not really there. Amen? Or you'll get some of those ideas dismissed. But anyway, the point is, this man has been a student because he's a Jewish kid. And when you think about where he came from, now, we say, notice his nationality, he came from Alexandria, Greece, okay? And out of Alexandria, that was a place, a center that's known for learning. It was a place that was known as an educational place. It was a place where they had schools for the children. They had universities for the adults. There was philosophy. There was history. There was mathematics. All of those things were taught. This man was in a place where he could gain a lot of knowledge. And on top of that, he was a scholar in Jewish studies. I mean, this fella had, man, he had a whole lot going for him, didn't he? He had a whole lot going his way. So you notice he's a man that has a great background, a great nationality. I'll tell you one other thing while we're here on this. That's another big point about the person of Paul. If you go back and study about Paul, you'll see that, you know, sometimes we think, well, God just, you know, kind of got after old Paul and was able to use him, and God just, well, I agree with that. God did that. But can I tell you something? Paul was no dummy before he come to know the Lord. Paul was an educated man. The Bible tells us he sat at the feet of the greatest teacher of the Jewish religion, a man by the name of Gamaliel. Paul sat at his feet and learned and heard and understood the Word of God. Paul was a man of the world. He understood about Greek culture. He understood about Roman culture. He understood about other ways of the world, other languages and other people. I mean, he was a well-rounded man. I think this fellow Apollos was much like Paul in that idea. He was a well-rounded man, had a lot of stuff in his repertoire, if you will, and all of that has brought him to a place where, as I say, you look at his nationality, but second of all, just notice his nature. There's something about him as you begin to read. It says, here's a certain man named Apollos, and it says he is, first of all, it says he's an eloquent man. He's an eloquent man. What does that mean? Well, the idea of eloquence has to do with a sharpness of being able to speak, being able to relate, being able to teach other people about things that one knows. Whoever it is that is eloquent. They can take what they know, and they're good at getting it out to other people. I've seen people that had a lot of knowledge, but they wasn't worth shooting on trying to get it out to somebody else. They knew what they were talking about, but they just couldn't bring it across. This man was an eloquent man. But not only do you see that he's an eloquent man, the Bible says he was mighty in the Scriptures. His concentration, his dedication, his mindset, his way, and his will, he wanted to know what the Bible had to say. Amen? We need some more folks with that kind of diligence today. I want to know what the Bible says, and I want to know that's the truth, and why it says it, and where it says it, and where something else is that backs it up in the Bible. Brother, I'm just telling you, hey, that was his nature. He was a man that was studious. He was a man that was sharp. He was a man that was on top of this thing with the Word of God. He was mighty in the Scriptures. And it says he was instructed, in verse 25, says he was instructed in the way of the Lord. Now, how did he get instructed? Look at that word instructed. It is the word kacheo, which is the where we get our word catechism from. I don't know if any of you are familiar with catechisms and the ways of catechisms, but generally they say that is a way to teach. And really, today in our world, if you hear it said, a lot of people say, oh, you're talking about a Catholic school. The Catholics still teach in a catechistic way, if you will. They try to teach by repetition. It's something that you hear over and over and over again. Can I tell you, that's the way most of us learn. You need to hear it again. That's why people say, all you preachers do is get up there and tell us what we need to do and why we need to be saved. Because you need to hear it. You ain't heard it the first time. You need to hear it again. Amen? Well, that's exactly how this man, the Bible says he was instructed. He sat down and somebody poured some instruction into him. And again, maybe it was those great teachers of the Jewish religion. We don't know. We're not told who it was. It might have just been the good old Holy Ghost. And thank God, can I tell you, when he teaches you, when he rolls it over on the inside of you, when he reveals it to you, when he tells you about it, hey, you'll have it. Amen. Somebody has said this. I don't know as to the absolute truth of it, but they say if you want to develop something in your life and really call it a habit, do it continually for 21 days straight. And if you'll do it for 21 days straight, it will become part of your nature. I told some of them, I remember when we were working in the pharmacy, they got into all this kind of stuff about recycling. Before we were just throwing stuff away or whatever. We got into recycling. They told us to recycle the paper that we didn't use. Well, buddy, old Brother Steve got a hold of that. I mean, I'm over here. Finally, one day they come to me and they said, stop. We got enough paper. I said, well, I can't stop now. It's in me. Amen. I can't have it. It became a habit, right? I mean, now you told me to do it, now you tell me not to do it. I mean, man, I'm still going to recycle. I'm just going to take it home with me. Amen. Figure out something else to do it. But I'm telling you, when you do repetitious things, it helps you. That's why it's good to sit down and read the Word of God and read it again. And you know what David said? He said, I'll meditate upon thy word in the morning and the midday and the night. I mean, get that word, let it get in you, go over it and over it and over it, and it will instruct you, it will help you, it will ground you, it will give you some established way in your life. Get in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. And here he was instructed in the way of the Lord. And listen, it said, being fervent in spirit, he spake and he taught diligently the things of the Lord. Why could he teach them? He had been instructed in them. He knew them. But I want you to notice what it says there in the very last part, knowing only the baptism of John. Now, I want to tell you something. I do not fault this man in what he knew, okay? If you go back and read in the first little bit of most of the chapters in the Bible, and we read about the John the Baptist, and this is who we're talking about, the baptism of John the Baptist, that was where he was instructed. And buddy, he was preaching about Jesus. He just didn't know everything about Jesus. He only knew so much. Why? Because he knew about the baptism of John. He knew what John preached. He knew what John said. And I can guarantee you what this boy was preaching, I'll guarantee you part of it was repent. Why? Because that's what John said. John came and he said, repent, you generation of vipers. Who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Brother, I'm telling you, this fellow was probably preaching that same kind of preaching. And he's telling folks, you need to get baptized. And he did not know, had not heard, did not understand about the baptism of being baptized in the Holy Spirit of God. He didn't know that. Now, again, I'm not faulting him for that because it's kind of like you just know what you know, right? I mean, if you've never been taught, then we will use that word, you're ignorant of those things until it is shown or revealed to you, till the light comes on. That's why I'm saying he has some revelation of Jesus. He knows some things about Jesus. He knows a little bit about Jesus. And you know what? I think we look at what I call his now knowledge. what he knows. He doesn't know everything, but he has a little bit of a knowledge about who Jesus is. As a matter of fact, what do you think John told him? John told him, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." I believe he preached that. He didn't understand it fully. He hadn't heard about and hadn't seen the death and the burial and the resurrection. He hadn't seen that. But he knew he is the Lamb of God. He knew what the Old Testament scripture said. He was well versed enough in the Word of God to understand the precepts and the line and everything that he needed to know as a foundation. He had that down. He had all of that down. So I'm saying he's got all of this in his favor. He understands. He's got some. Can I tell you, I really honestly believe this, I believe it's a biblical principle. If you get a little light, God will send you more light. You know, there's people all the time say, "Well, preacher, how do people across the world in some of these jungles and foreign countries, how do they know about God?" I'll tell you, God gives them some light. And if you get some light, you get interested, God's going to send you more light. Amen? I mean, do you know what Paul said about Israel, about his brethren in Israel when he was talking about them in Romans chapter number 9 and 10? He said, I'll tell you, they have a zeal of God, but it's without knowledge. They don't know. They don't have the understanding. They don't have the knowledge that they need. You know what that does? That brings you to a place where God will give you more light. God will give you some more light. Can I tell you, he's helped everybody in this room tonight by giving you more light. If you was like me, I didn't know John 3:16 when I got saved. I didn't know nothing. But thank God, can I tell you since then, praise God, he's turned on the light. He's lit up some things. He's opened up the scripture. He's given me some knowledge and some learning and some ability, and I praise God for that. Amen. Not anything I did. He opened it up. And if he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you. Do it for everybody in this room. So here's this fella, and as I say, he was instructed in the ways of the Lord. I mean, you see his knowledge, but it was, if you want to say, it was a limited knowledge. But second of all, look at this, if you will. Apollos receives a greater revelation of Jesus. Now, we see what we've got of him. Look what it says in verse number 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. He come in with guns blazing. Now, here he comes into Ephesus, but he's Jewish. He's not well known. He's not a principal character in Bible stories or anything. He just comes into town. Well, he goes down to the local synagogue, and when one of the leaders of the synagogue, they recognize him. They say, "You got something to say?" "Yeah, I'm going to tell y'all something." He gets up and he begins to expound what he knows. He begins to tell what he knows. And as he does this, you see that when you look at that, first of all, I want to tell you this. When he gets that greater revelation of Jesus, God brings him to the right place. Isn't it amazing? I mean, when you read this, it said there was a certain Jew, in verse 24, born in Alexandria, eloquent man, mighty in scripture. And it says he came to Ephesus. Now, what in the world is he doing? Why did he go to Ephesus? I believe he's following the Holy Spirit of God. I believe God's talking to him, and he thinks, well, okay, I'm going to go preach. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. But listen to what it says. Whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, like I say, I believe that God brought him to the right place. I'm telling you, when you need more light, when any of us need more light, God will bring you to the right place, or he'll bring the right place to you, whichever way it may be, but he'll get you to the right place. He brought him to Ephesus. What in the world were the chances, if you will, of him going to Ephesus? Why did he go to Ephesus? How did he wind up? Hey, a lot of folks say, well, he just had... I believe God led him there. Why in the world do you think that a little girl named Ruth wound up in a field that belonged to Boaz? The Bible says in the writing of it, it was her hap. But can I tell you, I believe it was the divine providential leading of God. And I believe God can still do the same thing today. You know, you run into somebody and you see them sometimes and you begin to talk to them. Maybe you knew them, acquainted with them, went to school with them, whatever it is. You begin to talk to them and they say, you know, I used to go to church, or I'm down and out and I'm discouraged about, and God puts them right there. Now, what are the chances of that happening? Well, I don't know, but I'm telling you this. I believe sometimes God has some divine interventions that happen in our lives and in the lives of others. God puts people together. And thank God that he does that. Amen. Boy, he'll put somebody in your life. I bet you Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thank God 1,000 times because God put a Daniel in their life. Amen. Hey, can I tell you, man, I imagine the disciples were glad in the end that God had put Peter right in the midst of them because of what he turned out to be. I can tell you this, church after church in here, that thank God that Paul came by their way. A divine appointment and intervention from God. God can do it, amen, if you and I'll just trust him. Here's this man, and, you know, people say, well, he just happened to go to heaven. I believe God had a royal appointment waiting on him when he got there. He got to Ephesus, and he was a man, yeah, he was a man that needed a greater revelation than what he already had. So God brought him to the right place. Matter of fact, let me just tell you this. I think God brought him to the right people. God gave him somebody. Look at this. I told you before here last week, you want to do a study sometime. Study Aquila and Priscilla. Husband and wife and partners in ministry. And they're doing what they can for God. They're not out front. They're not barking. They're not, you know, hey, look at us. They're none of that. But I want you to notice what happens here. It says here, he's speaking in the synagogue, and Aquila and Priscilla are sitting in the synagogue, and they hear him preach. And they hear and they understand what he knows, and as far as he knows. You see what it says? When they heard him, they took him unto them. They didn't do this publicly. They didn't try to shame him. They didn't stand up and say, brother, you're wrong, and let me straighten you up. They didn't do that. They took him off to the side, and they said, can we talk with you about the scriptures? And they began to share with him the complete story of Jesus. They said, you know about Jesus, and tell us what you know. Maybe he told them everything he knew about Jesus. And maybe old Aquila said, but there's more to the story. There's something. We've talked to a fellow by the name of Paul, and Paul has just come as the disciple, as the apostle of the Lord, and listen to what Paul said. And buddy, I'm telling you, Apollos sat there and just soaked it in. He listened. He wasn't reprimanded. He wasn't put down. He wasn't talked down to. None of that happened. He was just instructed in the Lord, and now he got some more instruction in the Lord. Can I tell you, I praise God for that. Amen. I can remember reading a story years ago about Jack Hiles. And Jack Hiles said the first church that he pastored down in Texas somewhere, he said that he had this older preacher that was in the church. And he said, whenever I would do something or say something stupid, and believe it or not, preachers can do that, and, you know, maybe be off key or out of whack or whatever. He said this older preacher would come to him. He said, and he never jumped on me, scolded me, chided me, did anything like that. He would say, you know, Brother Jack, I can remember when I was a young preacher, there was some time when I thought, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and I found out that maybe it wasn't that way, it was this way, or, you know, whatever it was about the situation. He said, he would always treat me. He never said I said anything wrong. He never tried to point anything out. He would just come to me and tell me that perhaps maybe there's another way or another side of the story or another, you know, something that could be handled in another way. He said, and I always look at him and say, brother, I got you. I understand. He said, I learned a lot from that older preacher, and he never once talked down to me or put me in my place or did any of those things. He was kind and he was gentle and he was helpful to me. Amen. Can I tell you that's what we need to be? And that I believe that's what you see here out of Priscilla and Aquila. They took him unto them. And listen, it says, and they expounded unto him the way of the Lord, or the way of God, more perfectly. So God brought him to the right place. God brought him to the right people. Oh, I'm just telling you, there's something special about this couple, Aquila and Priscilla. Don't you just love to run into people like that in your life? You just see people and, man, I know sometimes at the old-fashioned preacher's meeting, we'll see some people and Brother Langston will talk about, well, when you see one of them, you see the other. He said, they're just like peanut butter and jelly, just like ham and eggs. I mean, they just go together. Amen? And really, that's the way that it ought to be. And that's the way Aquila and Priscilla are. They're that way in their marriage. They're that way in their ministry. And they're that way in their personal lives as far as how they react and act and interact with other people. So here's Apollos. He gets to the right people, and God gets him to the place of the right perfection. It said they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And that word perfectly does not mean, well, we know everything, let us tell you. No, it just means they completed that picture. They said, let's tell you, Paul Harvey said, the rest of the story. Let's get the rest of it out there. And I'm telling you, hey, that is why we're doing this on Wednesday nights. I want you to get the rest of the story. Because, you know, sometimes, and again, I think Brother Ronnie was alluding to this in our Sunday school class, sometimes people pick pieces and parts of scriptures, and you can make the scripture say about anything you want to, right? I mean, some preacher got up and said, well, the Bible says that Judas went out and hung himself. And the Bible also says that Jesus said, go ye and do likewise. Amen? Now, does that make sense, or are we out of context? I think we're out of context when we just grab, you know, pieces of scripture and throw them together. I mean, you've got to look at things in context, in the rightness, and get the whole story of the scripture. And to do that, you got to get in the scriptures. Amen? I mean, that's where that, well, Grandpa always said this, and Grandma said this, was in the Bible. Well, Grandma and Grandpa, very respectfully, could be wrong. Get it and read it for yourself. Amen? Because I'm telling you, I've seen a lot of that where it wasn't what we thought it was, right? And, hey, this little boy right here had to get up and apologize. I can remember there was one little thing, and I don't know why I'm on this, but my daddy used to say, he would quote a scripture a lot of times. And one day, you know, I got to reading it. And I went to him and I said, Daddy, no, I'm not getting on you. I said, let's just sit down and read this. I said, you quote this a lot of times. And there was something in there that he was misquoting that gave, I mean, didn't, you know, wasn't no big doctrinal issue or anything. It was just a scripture that he said, you know, I've been saying that for years, hadn't I? I said, yeah, I've heard you, and I wouldn't pay any attention to it, maybe myself, or didn't know it. But I'd sat down and I'd read it, and I said, uh-oh. And I told him, he said, I've been saying that wrong all these years. And I know one time he got up in church and started saying that. He said, and you know what? I used to say that. He said, but I found out that it ain't that. This is the way that it is. And it was, yeah, it was some little thing. And I mean, again, I wasn't jumping on him or trying to straighten him out or correct him. I'm just saying, look, here's what the Bible says. So what do you think about that? And he said, I think I've been doing it wrong. So can I tell you, get in it and look for yourself. Because guess what? This little boy right here has done it like that before too. Amen? I mean, any of us are liable to do that. If we don't study the scripture, you're going to say, well, the Bible says blah, blah, blah. Well, let's find it and back it up and make sure that that's what it does say. So here they are. The way of God was expounded to him more perfectly, more completely. He got the whole picture, okay, if you will. All right, let's look at a third thing. Now, after that's happened to him, he's now ready to expound a revelation of Jesus and what he understands. He's ready to give out this revelation. Listen to what it says there, if you will, in verse number 27. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he had come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Amen? So what are you saying? Well, I'm saying here's Apollos, and he's ready to do do something for God. I want you to notice his destination. Next place that he wanted to go to Achaia. He wanted to go over there to the mainland, over where we just left there, where Corinth was and Thessalonica and all those areas that Paul has been to. He wanted to go over there. And more than likely, you know, if you remember the map, Ephesus is like here, and just kind of due west of that is Corinth. And he's gone that direction. That's where he's going. He's going back to Corinth. Because if you read in the book of Corinthians, you'll see that his name is mentioned more than one time. Paul says this about him. Paul talks about, I didn't come to baptize people, when he's talking to the Corinthians. I think that's what, maybe chapter number 2 of 1 Corinthians, whatever it is. But he says, some of you say, I'm baptized of Paul. And some say, I'm baptized of Apollos. And some say, of Cephas. And others, you know, of some others, whatever it is. Some people. So Apollos had been there. And because of who he was and the presentation that he had, the power and the recognition that Apollos had, people said, man, guess who baptized me? I got baptized by Billy Graham. You know, I mean, that'd be kind of the equivalent of our day. And you know what we ought to say? Whoopee-doo. I mean, really. I mean, that'd be a memory, and that'd be something that'd be great for you, I guess. But can I tell you what? I got baptized out in Rock Creek over here in Flintstone, Georgia, in old cold water. And my daddy and Larry Underwood put me under the water. Amen. And I'm telling you, hallelujah, I got wet. And I got to stand up and testify. As a matter of fact, that's a place where I announced my calling to preach, right out there in the middle of that water. And can I tell you something? I mean, those were great men, and I love them both, and I'm thankful for them both. But I'm just telling you, hey, that didn't mean nothing. That's who did it. It's that I trusted the Lord, and I wanted to honor him and work and worship him. Amen. Amen. But I'm telling you, they began to say, oh, okay. If you remember, Paul said this. He said, none of us are anything. He said, some have planted. He said, I may have planted. Apollos may have watered. He said, but God gave the increase. So you got to remember that. So Apollos was a name that was known, and maybe specifically and especially at the church of Corinth. But there's some other places where Paul mentions him too. He talks about bringing some people with him at one time. He's telling one of the, I think it's Titus, and he tells him to bring, blah, 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 and Apollos. He needs them to be brought to him wherever he is and whatever he's doing. So what I'm telling you is this guy becomes a little bit of a well-known character, a better-known character, but I just want you to know this. I mean, it doesn't mean anything. Ready? He's ready now to expound the revelation of Jesus. He's got a destination. He's going to Ephesus. I mean, he's in Ephesus. He's headed for Corinth. And as he goes to Corinth, he makes an impact. He wants to go there and preach. He wants to go there and deliver. It said he was disposed to pass into Achaia, and the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. I mean, they said, look, we're going to give you a letter of recommendation. You see his recommendation. You see his destination is to go over and preach and help folks. And his recommendation comes from the brethren. Aren't you glad when people come to know the Lord and they have a recommendation? That's what it is. You know, people sometimes say something about a church being ordaining somebody or licensing a preacher or ordaining deacons or whatever. That's a recommendation, y'all. That's a recommendation from the local church. And the local church ought to stand on those issues and make those commendations and be recommending some folks that need some help. Amen. Do you know that's what a missionary is? When a missionary gets ordained, it's a recommendation from a local church that we've got confidence in this man and he's going to go out and do a work for God. Amen? Well, that's exactly what they're doing right here. It said when he was disposed, when he had decided, when God laid on his heart to make this destination of Corinth, he said the church got behind him and said, hey, we're going to back this man. You know why? Because they knew that he knew God. They knew he knew the scriptures. And they knew that he'd be a great blessing to those that he went to. And that's where he's headed. Listen to what it says that happened. It said, they exhorted the disciples to receive him. When he's going over to Corinth, they said, hey, boys, y'all can count on this guy. Y'all ought to receive him. Y'all ought to welcome him and help him. It said, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. I mean, he was helpful to the saints of God. After he got the whole story about Jesus and was better enlightened, he was able to carry that light and shine it in the coasts of the area there in Corinth. And then finally, I want you to notice his acclamation. Look what it says about him. Look what it said. For he mightily convinced the Jews. And that publicly. Boy, aren't you glad that? He wasn't afraid to stand up in front of them and tell the Jewish people, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ that you've been looking for. Jesus is the man that the Scriptures talk about, that I've proclaimed and talked about. And the Old Testament, I mean, that's the only thing he's got, right? It's the Old Testament Scriptures. And that's what he's proclaimed. And it says that he has mightily convinced the Jews, and that in a public way, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Amen? Boy, that's a blessing. I mean, you know, when you can help somebody, and you know, as I said, sometimes preachers need help. Sometimes teachers, sometimes, you know, whoever you are in the church body, you may need some help to understand some things. And I'm glad God's got some people that can help us out. Amen. I thank God for all the men down through my years. Some of them had to put up with some of my ignorance, if you will, in that sense, that I didn't understand some things. I just didn't have a hold on them. But they helped me and nursed me and prayed for me and got me through it till I finally learned this a little bit. I feel like I've learned a little bit now, and I know a little bit. And I'm telling you, I want to get out and tell somebody else. I want to go somewhere and tell that old story that Jesus is the Christ. Amen? Thank God for that. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a verse, some song this evening, if you will.